Chapter 8. The Natural Environment. Global Warming, Pollution, Resource Depletion and Sustainable Development. In this chapter, we will explore the impact of sustainable development issues on the business environment. We will look at perhaps the most pressing global environmental problem of today, that of climate change or global warming, and assess the international response. We will look at the application of sustainable development frameworks to environmental issues, and we will explore the concept of sustainable development and the significance of this for business activity. It is simple to outline the basic ecological problem in the context of business. We need to extract the resources that we need for production from the ecological environment. If we exploit the sources of these materials without replacing what we've taken, then we face a long-term certain problem of resource depletion. Not all resources can be replaced, especially the fossil fuels on which so much of the world's energy supplies currently depend. It's also clear that the nature of so much of our productive processes results in pollution or other forms of ecological damage. The debate provoked by attempts to quantify the state of the world in terms of the rate of resource depletion and its effect on food supplies, water availability and energy, or the carrying capacity of the planet, is hotly contested. In 1987, Our Common Future, a report from the United Nations World Commission on the Environment and Development, or WCED, was published, commonly referred to as the Brundtland Report. The publication of Our Common Future and the work of the WCED led to the 1992 conference at Rio de Janeiro in Brazil and the adoption of Agenda 21, the Rio Declaration, and to the establishment of the Commission of Sustainable Development. At the heart of the debate about the nature of the ecological environment lies the concept of sustainable development, and at the heart of the concept of sustainable development lies the notion of equity or fairness. The commonly accepted definition of this was outlined in the Brundtland Report. Sustainable development is development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. This part of the statement is the bit which is most quoted and clearly shows the commitment that is made here to ensuring intergenerational equity. In other words, that our actions today should not undermine the standards of living in the future. However, Brundtland also highlighted the notion of intragenerational equity, the gap between the developed world and the developing world. And in Our Common Future, what Brundtland argued was that in framing development models, we must not lose sight of the fact that the overriding priority in business development models had to be given to the world's poor. And herein lies a potential conflict. If our present standards of living in the developed world are in danger of undermining intergenerational equity, equity between the generations, what then is the implication for bringing people out of poverty if those people are going to follow the current business models that we adopt here? So how do we square the circle? The conventional approach for dealing with environmental issues tends to come from economics. Economists see environmental problems as the unintended side effects of production and consumption processes. In environmental economics, the hope is that we can identify the externalities of production and consumption, and we can place prices on these wider costs. Initiatives, for example, that come out of this form of analysis is the notion of road pricing, to charge motorists extra prices to cater for and to accommodate the costs of pollution that motor driving causes. There are a range of market-based measures such as this that can be implemented. However, many people argue that market-based measures would not go far enough, and what therefore is needed is non-market-based measures in the form of government standards and regulations, whether these are at the national, regional, or indeed at the global level. The UK, in common with many other developed countries, has tended to adopt a piecemeal approach to environmental regulation over the years, at least up until the 1970s. However, since the 1970s, there have been attempts to try to unify areas of environmental regulation. And from the 1980s onwards, environmental measures have had progressively a European and then a global dimension. What then are the responsibilities of individual businesses? The chapter then focuses on applying sustainability within the context of business. And here there are four key areas which businesses need to focus on. Businesses will have a history, a site history. Where was the site situated? What was there before the business came into operation? And what are the responsibilities of the business for maintaining the estate on which it's currently based? Of course, there will be the ongoing production processes and what are the environmental impacts and effects of those production processes. A lot of the impact of the business will be to do with the nature of its product. And also here, businesses need to be conscious then of their communications policies in relation to how they handle environmental policy. In other words, they'll need to handle their relationships within the external environment. A business may review its operations and interpret them in a sustainable development context, but would all businesses want to do this? What happens if in ensuring environmental compliance, this comes up against the prerequisite within businesses to maintain their bottom line, in other words, to maintain their profits? Is there therefore an irreconcilable conflict between profitability and sustainability? And of course, many critics of business will argue that companies are against sustainable development measures, if it, particularly at the point of contact where profits are endangered. Of course, though, the problem is that if companies don't take into consideration environmental issues, they may be at risk of reputational damage. But then if companies simply attend to environmental regulations as a way of maintaining their corporate image, isn't this just a form of weak greenwashing? And these are some of the tensions and the ideas that are explored in the chapter. The difficult part. If that isn't difficult, then there's the difficulty in terms of implementing environmental policy. For many critics, if businesses are going to be genuinely environmentally sustainable, then what's needed is holistic changes within company practices. All too often, though, environmental sustainability is shoehorned into the responsibilities of, for example, an environmental manager or a sustainability manager. And for many people, this is not in any way a necessary or sufficient way of achieving environmental sustainability. Another approach to adopt is the so-called checklist approach. There are many How to Do It books published, but these have the problem of being fragmentary and focusing on different aspects of implementation without providing a comprehensive description and rationalisation of what's happened in individual companies. Another approach is the pragmatic approach, as exemplified by the PDCA cycle, Plan, Do, Check and Act, which effectively describe what happens in many universities around the country with varying levels of achievement in relation to progress towards sustainable development objectives. If you are a student at a university in the UK, you might want to check out the People and Planet website. People and Planet is an environmental organisation. Part of its work is to monitor what's happening in universities, and it collates the results and ranks universities in terms of the level of achievement, and you might want to see what your university is doing. Until the last 200 years, humankind made very little impact on this planet, but since about 1800, cumulative processes have led to a situation where in the last 30 to 40 years, we see ourselves faced with a variety of disasters induced by climate change and threats to economic, social and physical stability through to resource shortages and environmental pollution. The idea and strategy of sustainable development is put forward as a way of ensuring that we collectively live within the constraints of our resources and the capacity of the environment to absorb the effects of our presence on the planet. Sustainable development involves cooperative action at global, national and local levels. Governments at all levels may set frameworks or laws and regulations involving a variety of market and non-market tools to keep the impact of our activities on the environment within acceptable limits. Business in all its forms is a central part of this process, being a major source of the problems in the first place, but also a major contributor to solving them and as well a major beneficiary in many ways from having them solved. In conclusion, business activity is a major contributor to global environmental problems, though not everyone agrees with this, and global environmental problems are a major threat to business activity. Global environmental problems, though, as we will see, are also a potential opportunity for business. Concepts of sustainable development provide a framework for global thinking and local action. Most areas of business activity can be reframed in the light of these concepts to make a contribution a contribution to sustainable development, while at the same time, in most cases, actually improving its economic efficiency.